Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, a little Saturday special. It's the Breaking It Down podcast, hosted by yours truly, Mark Mancini, live in Los Angeles, 347-205-9631. Kind of goes by quick in 30 minutes. Catch the archive version, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports Podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, let me lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic. Special guest today, Parks McGregor, owner of a startup tech company, a YouTube personality, and I'm just so blessed to have this time to talk with him this morning with a cup of Joe. Parks, first of all, my friend, how are you from Dallas, Texas?
I'm doing great. Thank you. First of all, thank you for having me on the show.
Well, with everything you did, I'm just so blessed to have you for this amount of time and keep this thing going. I always say money comes and goes. Relationships are priceless, my friend. How can people get a hold of you?
Well, the best way to get a hold of me is through my YouTube channel, which is Crossman Product. And then they could also reach me through my Facebook. They can find me under Parks McGregor.
Well, let me start out with the whole YouTube personality, because that's huge these days. Social media, if you're not part of it, boy, I'll tell you, you're definitely on the outside looking in. And I always say, if you don't tap to something that's coming on, then you perish with it. So with the personality you have built on YouTube, take us through that and how it started, my friend.
Well, you know, prior to the Crossman Productions YouTube show, I used to do a music video show back about 2007, 2008. And then I went into kidney failure. So I had to kind of stop doing the show. While I was in kidney failure, I was on dialysis. I decided to go back to school. So I got my associate's degree in paralegal studies and my bachelor in criminal justice. And I kind of went to a different path. So that's kind of where the startup tech company came in. Once I got my degrees, I went to law school. And then I left law school to do the startup company for the state-of-the-art body camera that we're currently building. Recently, I decided to go back into television, you know, with the whole YouTube channel. I started watching the social media and how everybody was just fighting back and forth. There was like everything that you see on social media was created to divide us as a nation. You know,
right.
Whatever, you know, politically, religiously, you know, whatever, the whole vaccine, everything. So I decided what I wanted to do was create a show that actually encouraged and inspired each other, and show that we have more in common as human beings than we do that separates us. So I started doing Crossman Productions and bringing out people's stories, their journeys, and how, you know, some of the things they've gone through and what trials and tribulations they had to go through and the triumphs and, you know, just letting them share their story to inspire and encourage other people who are trying to get into the same industry as those, you know, as people I was interviewing.
You know, and that's simply amazing the way, you know, let's take it from the kidney failure. I don't
right.
know what it is to go through something like that. And I always say, having good health is priceless. But when you went through that, did you ever look at yourself and say, oh, gosh, I got a setback here now, and now I got to do this? And was it pity me, or it's, you know, this is just another wheelbarrow in the road of trying to get to where I need to go? Because I always say it's never the goal, it's the journey. So when you
right.
were diagnosed with, you know, having kidney failure, how did you take it and say to yourself, hey, I can't sit here and wallow in self-pity here. I got to do something about it.
Be honest, like when I first was diagnosed, you know, it was kind of scary. You know, that's a, you know, a shock to hear when somebody tells you that you're, you know, that you're going to need a transplant or else you could die, you know. So initially it was, you know, I was kind of scared, but then I started realizing that this would gave me kind of an opportunity to pause and kind of reevaluate where I was in my life and make adjustments and changes to get where I wanted to be, because I didn't see the transplant, you know, as being, or, you know, being on the transplant list, whatever, as being the end of my life. You know, I kind of was trying to envision what life was going to be like after I got my transplant.
Right.
So what I was trying to do is prepare myself, which is why I went back to school. So while I was sitting on dialysis for between 4 and 8 hours, I didn't want to just waste that time. I was on dialysis for about 2.5 years, and I just didn't want to sit down and waste the time, so I decided to go back to school and at least get a degree. That way, once I got my kidney, then I would be better off than when I came in. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, and not only that, you know, what you're doing in talking about, you know, what's going on in today's society, you know, I say to myself, I'll be 62 in November, and I can't imagine being 20 in today's society. It just seems like everything's kind of flipped around. I always say this, Parks. I think when you take God out of the equation, bad things start to happen. We're seeing a lot of things going. We're seeing the pushback on vaccines. 67% have taken it. The other 33% don't want anything to do with it, claiming it, you know, basically, hey, it's a medical choice. I've got my freedom. We're starting to see these UFO sightings and all that. I can't really put my finger on anything, and I scratch my head wondering, what kind of world am I growing in now that I haven't grown up in before? Any thought to that, my friend?
Well, I completely agree with you as far as, we're always going to take a downward spiral when we take God out of everything. I mean, that's just, you know, some people like don't like to hear that, but it's truth. Yeah. You know? So, you know, with me, I think what's got me through so far, you know, has got me, you know, this part of life is my faith.
Right.
And, you know, I wouldn't have made it. I'd say right now, I would not have made it through my kidney transplant. You know, that whole, you know, time of being on dialysis without my faith. And in today's society where everybody wants to silence God, you know, there's no wonder we have the issues that we have. You know what I mean?
Exactly. I always say if you turn your back on him, then he's going to basically turn his back on you till you actually follow what he's trying to lead. But, you know, you don't try to push it on anybody, and that's just it. You know, I always say, if you keep the faith and you never waver away from it and you're firm in it, good things start to happen along the line. It just doesn't happen on your time. It more or less happens on his time.
Exactly. And, you know, that's kind of, you know, the way I approach the show, too, is, you know, with the Crossman Productions, is that I think that the best way to witness to people, you know, about your faith is to, you don't just have to, you know, a lot of people like to talk about it and, you know, want to condemn other people for things they're doing and whatever. You know, for me, I think that if I can live as an example, that reaches more people than, you know, being up there pointing fingers and condemning people for the things that they do.
Well, and not only that, take us through that production. The Cross and Pro Show is picking up steam. You're interviewing a lot of actors. We were talking in the pre-chat. You got an actress coming on. I mean, it's just, you know, it's almost like a domino effect what you're doing there in Dallas and across the country, because more and more people are picking up because they say to themselves, hey, Parks knows how to interview us. Go to him, you know, and this is it. And before you know it, you know, 3 million followers, turn into 5 million, turn into 7 million before you know you're a mega star.
Right.
But I think the key talking to you is, you know how hard it is to get up that mountain. You don't want to roll off overnight.
Right. So basically, so we have two shows. So we have Crossman Productions, which is where we do, the interviews that talk to people about their journey, which is a very powerful show. And I am completely amazed every time I get to sit down and talk to, one of our guests. I said I've been doing this for a little over a year now. And I've met some of the most amazing people and just heard their stories. And the thing I really enjoy about doing Crossman Productions and hearing other people's stories is that even though I get to interview them, I'm encouraged by them as well. And hearing their stories. We've done a kind of a spinoff, which is the Cross and Pro Show. So Pro Slacker is the co-host of that show. And basically what we kind of done is created a second show where we do movie reviews, gaming reviews, review music, reaction videos. So it's kind of a little bit different than Crossman Productions. And then also once we do movie reviews, we'll actually bring the cast and crew on from the movies that we review and have them come on the show and kind of share their view of when they, what they were thinking when they created this, the movies that they're in.
Well, and not only that, what catches my eye, and I don't know if you reflect on it and sit there and think about it, but when you catch these rising stars before they're actually stars,
right.
And the public knows all about them, take an example, the actor you guys did it with Chris Roberts. I mean, and when they make it to where they are, you're going to get the exclusives because you were right there. I always look at this like the minor leagues and major leagues in baseball. If
right.
you're with these guys in the minors, the minute they hit and become a megastar in the majors, you've got complete access. I mean, that's going to be satisfying in its own right for you.
Right, exactly. And, we just did a show where we caught up with Chris D. Roberts. When I first met Chris, he had only done one or two movies. He had just broken into the industry. He's been doing this probably a little bit over a year now, and now the guy's everywhere. I mean, it's amazing, the stuff that he's been able to accomplish in the last year, which kind of goes to the point with what I try to do with the show is I try to share with my audience, it doesn't matter where you are in life. If you have, first of all, I believe God has given everybody a purpose in life.
Right.
And once you figure out what that purpose is, then God's going to help you grow, and do the things that you need to in that. And so, that's kind of what I try to do with bringing people like Chris in. So you see him, in the beginning, he's only done one or two movies, bring him back, and now he's done, I think it's close to about 20 movies now, in the last year. I mean, the guy's, he's incredible. And then not only, talking about just meeting Chris introduced me to a whole community out there in Florida of actors.
God.
You know what I mean? So I get to watch every one of those people grow. Heather, Frey.
Yeah.
Jonathan Montez. I mean, there's a ton of them. I mean, just such great talent out there. And watch all of them grow. So not only now do I get an exclusive with Chris Roberts, there's probably 20 other people out there that, I'd be able to get an exclusive with.
Right. And, you always kind of, do an interviewing a lot, and you learn something new all the time when you do the interviews. There's some interviews
right.
that stand out more than others. I remember I was, case in point, I was talking to the El Paso Chihuahuas broadcaster, Tim Haggerty.
Right.
And just a great guy. And, I said, is there anybody you ever emulate? you know, as far as, and he says, you know what, you try to be your own thing. Try to come up with your own slogans. Try to come up with your own kind of status quo. And that's what separates you, because you don't want to fall in line like everybody else. It's nice to have mentors. It's nice to have, you know, guys you follow. But you always want to come up with your own thing. And
right.
My thing I always said is when I open up a show, and I'm sure you got your own, and anybody can copy it, but it's not going to be authentic because it was yours, and they're going to trip on their words trying to copy it. So I always come up with lay down the red carpet, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic, and I coined that one. Is there any one
right.
particular that you coin that, yeah, maybe somebody's listening to the show and they'll go, hey, you know what, I can get that from Parks, but they're not going to be able to do it like you, Parks.
Well, I always close my show by saying, reminding people that you are uniquely designed with a purpose.
Right.
You know, that's what I try to install into everybody's mind, is you are uniquely designed with a purpose, and always keep moving forward. You know, so one of the things that I think really surprised people when I started doing the show is that other podcasters kind of were exclusive and to themselves. They didn't really want to, like, share their audience. One of the things that I did is started bringing other podcasters and interviewing them on our show, because what I wanted to do with this whole, ideal of CrossMat Productions, with encouraging and inspiring people, is to not just make it a show. I wanted to make it a movement.
Yeah.
So so I started bringing in other podcasters and promoting them, when their vision lines up with mine. So if they are the same way, they're trying to inspire and encourage people. Instead of us, competing against each other, what I did is I started bringing them in and encouraging them and helping them promote their shows. By doing that, that's actually how I met Pro Slicker from the Cross the Pro Show. He's a podcaster as well. And then we just started doing a show together. There's another lady who's an amazing person. Her name is Anastasia Burkles. She's a podcaster in Australia. I met her, and, she and I work together. What we typically do is we share guests. So once I have guests on my shows here in the U.S., I send them to her and then help those guests get exposure out in Australia.
Australia,
She'll send her guests to me. And so now we have a network that makes it international instead of just a national show, because now we have an international audience.
Exactly. Spreading the wealth, showing people how to do it, taking them under your wing. And you can have the hidden agenda types out there, but they kind of weed themselves out. The majority will, be there. And, I've always said, if you meet 100 people in the business, 95 might not have your best interest. The other 5 will run through a wall for you. Is it an accurate quote would you run with too? Because we know how the business can be.
Right. I think I've been really fortunate, because I really haven't ran into anybody. Well, maybe I would say maybe one person, but with the what I've been doing for the last year, pretty much everybody I've met all share the same vision. We all have the same goals.
Right.
We have the same vision. So I really haven't ran into anyone who that I disagree with, or that that we have any kind of, I don't say beef or anything with, but for the most part, people see the vision. And then I think that people, especially after this whole pandemic, people are so eager to start getting back to work and working with one another. And I think it's one of the things that I credit the pandemic for, as horrible as it was, is that after the pandemic, I think that it gave people sort of a chance to reset and reevaluate themselves and give them a chance to actually start going after their passions and you know, following their goals in life. Before the pandemic, everybody was stuck in this, you know, this is life, you know, this is, I'm supposed to go work a 9-to-5 job, and this is what I'm supposed to do, and, you know, and they didn't see any light at the end of the tunnel. I think that having that pause during the pandemic, now that everybody's come back out, I think people have a whole kind of new outlook on how they want to see their life and things that they want to achieve. And so, you know, my goal is try to network everybody together and help them achieve their goal. But not only help them achieve their goal, but network with other people and share resources, and we can help each other out.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, when you look at, you know, all the people you've interviewed, is there anyone that in particular that stands out that you kind of use it as a rallying cry and basically share that with people and say, wow, I learned a lot in this interview?
Well, there's two. So my very first, well, not my very first, my interview with this photographer here in Dallas, his name is Omar Ramos. Prior to having Omar on the show, he was one of the guys that on my Facebook, we kind of were at odds, like, politically. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that we were, like, at odds with, you know. So when I decided to do the show and show that we had more in common than we had to separate us, I brought Omar onto the show because he was, like, polar opposite of everything I believed, you know what I mean? And so I brought him on the show. We did a live interview just because I wanted to get to know him as a person and not as just the space on Facebook. You know, this
exactly.
You know, I don't want to call him like a rival or whatever, but, you know, this person I kept arguing with on Facebook. So whenever we sat in person and I got to hear his story, first time that I was speechless after hearing his story and all the stuff that he had been through, it just gave me a whole new respect for him and the stuff that he had gone through. And I really didn't know how that interview was going to turn out. But out of all my interviews, that's probably one of my favorite, because it was one that kind of hit home and let me know kind of what I was doing was the right path. And, you know, stopping and actually hearing people's stories and get to know them personally, you know, it that changed my life, you know, and my perspective. And then it kind of let me know that I was on the right path of what I wanted to accomplish with this show.
Yeah, and, you know, we're down about 6 minutes and change, and I know we got to get you back in here for. But when we talk about body cams, and you've introduced them into the police force and stuff, and trying to build the trust between the police and the communities, it just seems like the divide is so far one side to the other. How do you get it back to the middle? And this is probably the only way you can get it to the middle, because you can't argue with cameras.
Right. So, you know, when I said that, I went back to school. I went to law school. The reason I left law school is because I realized that law school really isn't about justice. It's about who could argue the best. I wanted to create something that would be indisputable as far as whether somebody was guilty or innocent of a crime. So, you know, I came with the idea for the body cam. And for the body cam, one of the things that that I like about the body cam is that it doesn't choose sides. It all it does is record truth. Whatever happens, what happens. Sometimes that falls on one side, you know, of the argument. Sometimes it falls on the other side. But the, you know, the idea of this body cam is to be able to present undisputed truth. Now, the other thing that I did with this body cam, because body cameras aren't useful if they don't get turned on. I mean, in order for a body cam to work, it has to be turned on. So one of the things we did is I created a patent So basically, whenever the body cam is turned on in the beginning of the day, it calibrates its upright position of what, you know, where this, what the position is supposed to be. And then when a call comes into dispatch, the dispatcher, when they assign that officer to a call, will simultaneously turn on that camera for the officer. So the officer has no ability to turn the camera on and off himself. So that ensures that every interaction with the public is being recorded.
Yeah, and you know, when you look at it, I'm a firm believer in that, you know, if you're going to go commit a crime, you know exactly what you're doing. And in, right. in case in point, if a guy goes in and robs a bank 8 times, and the 9th time he gets caught, then he pleads, well, I didn't know what I was doing, and I was taking medications or something. I think that's a crock in more ways than
right.
one. I think accountability is lost in today's justice society as far as, you know, they create gray areas. There's no black
right.
and white no more. And, you know, these kind of guys, you know, they believe in rehabilitation. I think you got to get back to the Bible days and more or less start looking at this situation where if you're going to do something and you know exactly what you're doing when you get caught and you plead something else, then it's going to be life in prison or it's going to be the death penalty. Now, that could be harsh, but that's the
right.
way I was brought up and that's the way I was shown. And if we did something wrong in school, you know, we'd go to the principal's office, grab our ankles, and we'd get a couple swats. What happened to those days?
Right. So, you know, you bring a good point because, you know, the whole idea about the body cam is for accountability. You know, like I said, you know, sometimes the evidence falls one way, you know, for the community, and sometimes it falls, you know, for the police officers. But the idea of the body cam that I'm creating is for the community and both the community and law enforcement to take accountability for their part. So basically, if somebody in the community does something wrong and that body cam shows the community that they did something wrong, that community needs to take accountability for it as a whole. Instead of going in and protesting and busting out windows or whatever they want to do, and you know, destroying businesses, but look, this guy got caught. He's on camera, you know.
Yeah.
He's been counted.
No, no. Well, and not only that. Yeah. When you look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. When you look at it in more ways than one, we over here, you know, lay a red carpet down for a guy that commits a mass shooting. And we only remember the victims who were shot for like 10 minutes. Everybody throws flowers, goes to a funeral. And now we're left with families that are broken that try to pick up the pieces. But we keep talking about this guy that shot everybody years later, and it's the anniversary of this, where this guy,
right.
and it's just, it doesn't make sense in more ways than one. As we're winding down this show, like I said, we got to get you back. There's just so much to talk about. I appreciate you taking the time. Let everybody know how they can get a hold of you. You're a YouTube personality, a startup of a tech company. Man, oh, man, I'm just trying to carry your bags in Dallas when you make it big, man, and you got a big show going, my friend.
Yeah, I appreciate that, man. I mean, with the show, it's you know, I'm really excited about where we, you know, how far we've come in the last year. And we could definitely use help, you know, with people coming in and helping by becoming subscribers and,
yeah.
you know, liking and commenting and you know, being involved with the show. The best way to find me on that is on YouTube, is on look for Crossman Product, one word, Crossman Product. Make sure you become a subscriber. And then, you know, we do these live shows. Join me on the live show and, as I have guests on, you'll be able, you know, the subscribers will be able to come on and ask questions as well. So I try to involve my audience as much as I can with these. The other way to get a hold of me is through Facebook, through Facebook with Parks McGregor, or you can just email me at crossmanproduct@gmail.com.
Well, you know, I love you dearly, my friend. The only thing we'll disagree on is being from Pittsburgh. I love my Steelers. I know you like your Cowboys. We'll have to talk about that and fresh to 70s. That's Parks McGregor out there in Dallas, Texas, special guest in the Breaking It Down podcast. Catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, saying thanks for tuning in here in Los Angeles. We'll talk to you next week. Again, thank you very much, Parks.
Thank you. Thank you guys so much for having me on.
And have a blessed and safe weekend.
Thank you. You too.